Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk, and thanks for watching. Straight to the docket. First, George Floyd. Ex-police officer Derek Chauvin has been charged. What does it really mean? Second, examples of why you don't do justice on the cheap, because Oregon now gets to do a bunch of redo trials. Third, two Texas attorneys are charged with conspiracy to commit murder. Fourth, a Texas grand juror also gets to do a do-over because they were trying to do it on the cheap. And fifth, the court issues instructions for the Letitia Stauch hearing on the 5th, and our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. We would ask that you hit that little subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Leave us a comment, hit that little like button, and hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we put up new content or go live. First on the docket, the case of George Floyd. For anybody who has no idea what's going on in the world, George Floyd was a man in Minneapolis, Minnesota, who was being detained by police officers. And ex-police officer Derek Chauvin had his knee on Mr. Floyd's neck for about 10 minutes before the ambulance arrived, whereupon he was pronounced dead. When video came out about this incident, Officer Chauvin and three others were immediately fired. That never happens, ladies and gentlemen. And the district attorney yesterday really got things going when he said he wasn't really sure if a crime had been committed. Then you noticed things started to burn in Minneapolis as well as other protests around the country. I'm not sure what video this district attorney was watching where he said he wasn't sure that the force was excessive. You don't have to look very far because we talked about it yesterday. Even police officers that represented police organizations said that the conduct of Officer Chauvin was completely unacceptable and not permitted. There has been a lot of commentary by police officers that say this is why anything related to chokeholds or anything up by the neck is prohibited. Only if the officer feels that he is in a life or death situation should a chokehold or any kind of pressure to the neck area be applied. Needless to say, the governor and the mayor of Minneapolis all said that they are expecting quick justice. But obviously, it wasn't until today that now ex-officer Derek Chauvin has been charged. Now, he's only been charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter. So in the great state of Minnesota, one could be charged with first-degree murder, which is basically you kill someone after deliberation. You have second-degree murder, where you did something, maybe really didn't intend for somebody to die. Third-degree murder that falls between manslaughter and third-degree murder charge. It's best explained by it's murder not based on having an intent to kill. Okay, third-degree murder, not really having the intent to kill. It's kind of like shooting a gun into a large group of people and saying, well, I really didn't mean to kill anybody. You knew you could probably kill somebody. This charge carries up to 25 years in prison, and a fine is possible of up to $40,000. Not sure why the prosecutors didn't charge second or first-degree murder in this particular situation, but we will see. The Minneapolis Police Department released a very redacted body-worn camera, but it's not really of the situation as it relates to Mr. Floyd. Now, the district attorney seemed to be very excited the fact that he has never charged a police officer or former police officer this quickly. And I think the question needs to be, why not? In most jurisdictions, when there's an officer-involved shooting, everybody gets to come in. The officer involved is immediately removed from the scene. He is given an attorney, usually by the Police Protective Association, rather quickly. Before that officer makes any statements whatsoever, he gets an opportunity to look at everybody else's statements so that he can see what was really going on. He doesn't get to lock himself into a statement. Could you imagine if in any other criminal case, a defendant didn't have to say anything until after he's been able to see absolutely everything in the prior to charges being filed? Unheard of. But they get to do it for the police. And there's two manslaughters that are possible in Minnesota. There's voluntary manslaughter, which carries up to 15 years of imprisonment, and involuntary manslaughter, which carries 10 years of imprisonment. Now, I understand that the district attorney has to continue to work with the police department and wants to make sure that everyone involved feels like they're getting due process. I respect that. But due process can move quickly. One of the reasons why people lose faith in the judicial system is that they don't feel that everyone is treated exactly the same. If you are in a position of power or you have wealth, that perhaps you get a few extra breaks that the rest of us would not. Additionally, people become very frustrated by the judicial process when they have ongoing investigations that take forever. And this is not a complicated case. Police officers investigate homicides on a daily basis, and they try to make those arrests usually within the first 48 hours. Why is that? That's when everything's fresh, everything's new. Now, we mentioned it the other day that we think that the police were probably waiting for blood results as it relates to the autopsy of Mr. Floyd. And the reason why they would probably consider that was because the 911 tape was released. And that was of the store owner who called in the alleged fictitious $20 bill that was used to purchase cigarettes. The individual on the phone states that the individual on the 911 call states, and we're assuming they're referring to Mr. Floyd, was the fact that he appeared to be drunk or intoxicated with some substance. It's not clearly stated. But as you can see from the videos, both the surveillance video from outside the store, as well as the video that was turned over that appeared on Facebook, Mr. Floyd does not appear to be resisting, which was in fact the original version of the police. It wasn't until the video showed up that they were corrected as to their facts. Now, obviously here at Crime Talk, we believe in due process, and we will give ex-police officer Derek Chauvin the presumption of innocence that any defendant would be entitled to. As a criminal defense attorney, we're all for that. But we also believe in common sense, and justice should be swift, because justice delayed is justice denied. We also hope that everyone around the country will realize that you can go protest. No one would support people protesting more than me, as long as it is actually peaceful, okay? Because your First Amendment rights don't continue to the point where you get to go loot or vandalize other people's property. It simply is not the case. Next on the docket, an example of when you try to do justice on the cheap, it just creates more problems. As you may all recall, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about a case that was taken up from a pro se defendant in Louisiana. He ultimately got an attorney because he went to the United States Supreme Court to argue that a non-unanimous jury conviction was unconstitutional. Now, Louisiana said, hey, no harm, no foul, because we've changed that law, and you don't want to do everything retroactive anymore that'll hurt and harm everybody, because there's only two jurisdictions in the United States that still had a non-unanimous jury verdict system on criminal cases. Louisiana, which vacated theirs, and then the state of Oregon. And apparently nobody in the Oregon state legislature or judicial system said, we should probably change this old antiquated system. But no, they didn't. And so now they get to go back and redo hundreds of cases where people were found guilty and it was not a unanimous verdict. So the Oregon Supreme Court recently returned 16 cases to the trial court. And according to an Oregon Department of Justice official, some 269 convictions should be reversed and remanded for new trials. This will only grow as they continue to examine more and more cases. Now remember, when you go back and try to do a trial from years ago, you have big problems. The prosecution has to assemble all these witnesses over again. They have to get the evidence back to court again. People's memories fade. Yes, they'll more than likely have a trial transcript. And if those witnesses were available at the original trial and subject to cross-examination, that testimony under oath could be read into the record, for example, if the witness was unavailable. However, if now they need a witness who did not testify and is no longer around, they don't have that evidence anymore. So this antiquated system that should just simply offend everyone's conscience when it comes to a non-unanimous jury verdict, the state of Oregon tried to stick it out, and now it's going to cost them to do the right thing, which they should have done and could have done easily. All it would have taken was one little legislator to say, you know what, let's protect our citizens' rights. Let's do that. No, they didn't. And we talked about the origins of the non-unanimous jury verdicts. It goes back to literally racist intent, because when minorities were allowed to sit on jurors, for a long time they were not, when they were not allowed to sit on juries, they figured there would only be one or two minority on there. So if the, you know, the other 10 wanted to vote guilty for somebody and the minorities didn't, we would still get the verdict that we wanted. That's the history of the non-unanimous jury verdict. Oregon was now the last to get rid of it. Next on the docket, two Waco, Texas attorneys charged with conspiracy to commit murder. Wait till you hear about this. Waco police have arrested Seth Andrew Sutton, who's 45, and Chelsea Teherina, 33, each on felony charges of conspiracy to commit capital murder. Here's the thing. They're both defense attorneys. It is alleged that Mr. Sutton paid an undercover Waco police officer to buy a gun to kill Miss Tijerina's former husband, Marcus Bowden, also a Waco defense attorney. It's alleged in the affidavit that Sutton solicited an undercover officer on May 14th to kill Bowden, and the two exchanged ideas about this plot. Sutton told the officers he would give him $300 to buy a gun, and then said he would help the officer leave town after committing the murder. Now, Bowden, 37, was arrested in February on a felony charge of indecency with a child. It's alleged that he touched inappropriately a 10-year-old family member in December. It's also alleged in the affidavits that after the initial meeting between Sutton and the undercover officer, Waco police enlisted the help of Texas Rangers on about May 20th. The next day, Sutton and Tijerina met with the undercover officers to plan the hit, according to these affidavits. Tijerina provided details about Bowden's whereabouts and how to carry out the murder. Tijerina and Sutton provided a timeline for the murder, as well as establishing alibis for both Tijerina and Sutton. On May 22nd, Sutton met with the undercover officer and provided the officer with the $300 to purchase the firearm. Both were arrested at their Waco home on Friday. What can you possibly say? You have defense attorneys planning to kill another defense attorney because obviously he was accused of doing something very, very bad. Clearly, these attorneys have learned nothing in the course of their career and obviously are looking at spending a significant amount of time in the Texas Department of Corrections. Next on the docket, when people try to do justice on the cheap, it usually requires a do-over. And that's what happened in McClellan County. For obvious reasons, given the COVID pandemic, Many courts have been closed, and that also includes grand juries. And for those of you who've never seen, which unless you participated in one or appeared in front of one, you wouldn't know necessarily how they work. But usually a grand jury is convened for a period of time, sometimes 6 months, maybe a year, or there's special grand juries for a particular case that they intend to investigate upon. And under the United States Constitution and in most state constitutions, you can only proceed via an indictment for a felony case, which means that the grand juries, which means that the grand jurors must hear some evidence and establish probable cause to indict somebody for a crime. If no grand juries are convening, it's very difficult in some states to proceed with felony charges. Well, that's what took place in Texas. The McClellan County grand jury hadn't met for weeks. And when the grand jury did, in fact, meet, only six members of the grand jury met in person and six participated in a video conference known as Zoom, which we've all become rather familiar with. The grand jury quorum provisions require that at least nine members of the grand jury be present to have a quorum to actually conduct any business. So, you know, those defense attorneys who actually read the law and say that didn't comply with the law that the legislature wrote, not a governor, the legislator wrote, and the governor signed and it became a bill, said that is inappropriate under the procedure. Now, the district attorney's counsel believes that these motions filed by defense attorneys to get their clients out of custody on a personal recognizance bond were simply, quote, childish, end quote. Needless to say, the county went back and presented evidence to a grand jury with a quorum, which included three defendants charged with murder and 55 others on a variety of charges, so that there would not be any issues related to the indictment process. Ladies and gentlemen, as we talked about yesterday, the Constitution, the law, doesn't get suspended just because somebody says so. It doesn't. In fact, when people try to take power, that's exactly why the Constitution's there. That's exactly why the Founding Fathers limited government. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Nobody gets up in the government and says, how can we give some more power back to the people? No, it's only people that go to court and challenge it on a daily basis, like your friendly local neighborhood defense attorney and all the other ones out there, just like me, doing that work every day, are the ones that are protecting the rights. When restaurants get shut down and they get charged criminally or they want to have their license revoked, little old defense attorneys go in and protect the rights and say, that's not valid. You didn't follow the law. You exceeded your authority. Because I assure you, nobody in the government is going to say, oh, we exceeded our authority today. We better take that back. They don't do it unless somebody holds them to that standard. And we certainly know the courts aren't going to do it most of the time. Next on the docket, the court has issued some orders regarding the Letitia Stauch hearing set for June 5th of 2020. You may recall yesterday we talked about the motion that was filed by the defense to continue the preliminary hearing as well as the proof, evident, presumption, great hearing. Now, everyone in the state of Colorado, if they are in custody, is entitled to a preliminary hearing within 35 days from the date of arrest. The defense has waived the 35-day rule so that they can have time to prepare, investigate. That was the basis of the motion by the defense, basically saying there's so much discovery, we just simply haven't had time. Additionally, we have not had enough time to meet with our client to go over everything. The court ultimately granted that motion to continue, and the preliminary hearing and proof evident presumption great hearing will take place at a later date. And for those of you who do not recall, the proof evident presumption great part of the hearing, which is kind of done in conjunction with the preliminary hearing, is to determine whether the evidence is so overwhelming that Ms. Stauch would not be entitled to a bond, a no bond hold. Well, at least this court is actually getting back to business. Some courts are not even allowing people into their courtrooms. For example, here in Denver, everything's done via WebEx. El Paso County is trying to get back to normal. Jefferson County out here, you can show up. But the court has issued rules. They're only going to allow 12 people into the gallery, and masks are encouraged. What made me chuckle about this was that each side will be limited to the attorneys of record or investigator or an advisory witness. Social distancing likely cannot be accommodated in front of the bar, which is obviously the part of the courtroom where the attorneys conduct the business. Counsel will be ordered to wear masks, and neither side will be permitted to actually go to the podium. Additionally, there'll be no bench conferences permitted because apparently you can't social distance but yet still make a record. The court is going to make accommodations so that those that would like to attend but are not able to actually remain in the courtroom can view the proceedings via WebEx in the actual jury room. And that room will seat no more than 50 people. And although it is a public courtroom, and some of the courtrooms that I've appeared in front of have said this is a public courtroom, everyone should be allowed to appear via WebEx or by phone if they want to listen in. Apparently, this court did not make that accommodation, only limiting WebEx to family members of the victim or family members for the defendant for that purpose. And the press will be allowed as well. This hearing will more than likely be nothing more than a status conference where the defense is going to outline how much time they think they're going to need to be prepared to go to the preliminary hearing, if there are any discovery issues. But it always provides an opportunity for either side to tip their hand a little bit as to what we may see coming in the future. It's always worth listening to a good status conference. Sometimes they're better than the actual trial. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. And we'll also recap the dumb criminal contestant of the day's winner throughout the week, where you all can choose the winner for the week. And the winner of the week will get a Crime Talk mug. All they have to do is contact us at scott@scottreich.com, and we will send it to them free of charge. And then you get to watch and take your sips of your favorite beverage from your Crime Talk mug. And if you would like your own Crime Talk mug and don't want to be a dumb criminal contestant, hit the link below, order it from Teespring, and they will ship it out to you today. Our dumb criminal contestant is a Connecticut woman. Now, the Connecticut woman, Martine Shenshuk, a 40-year-old resident from Sandy Hook, well, she went down to the local grocery store, the Big Y Market. And apparently the Big Y Market is made arrangements for their social distancing and reopening, and they have made pass, one-way pass through the aisle. Well, Miss Shenshuk saw an individual that was going the wrong way down the aisle, and she would have none of this whatsoever. She apparently asked the unidentified victim to politely turn around and go back down the aisle and proceed the appropriate way. Apparently, Miss Shenshuk is a very strict rule follower. However, when the unidentified man said he would not turn back around and that he would not go down the one-way lane of the aisle, Miss Shenshuk removed her face mask and spit in the man's face. Isn't that ironic? The woman who was so concerned about the social distancing and the masks takes off her mask and spits in the man's face. You just can't make this stuff up. And isn't it ironic that this woman did exactly what she was upset that somebody else was doing? My gosh. So, our quick recap of our dumb criminal contestants of the week so far. Yesterday, we had the Florida man who kicked the chicken. Tuesday, we had the tased grandmother who fled the police and ultimately wound up being charged with felony assault on a peace officer, as well as getting tased, not once, but twice. Thanks for watching Crime Talk. It has been a busy week, and obviously the news will continue with these high-profile cases. I'd like to thank our sponsor, PeopleFinder, and if you went to crimetalksearch.com and signed up, it's only $4.95 for a subscription. You obviously help our sponsor, which helps Crime Talk. It's only $4.95 for a subscription, And when you do that and you support PeopleFinder, you help them support Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. Have a great day. We'll see you next week on Crime Talk.